In Iraq, celebrations continue following the recapturing of the city of Mosul, which has spent the last 3 years under ISIS rule. This marks a significant turning point in the war against the terrorist group, with the so-called Islamic State now largely confined to desert areas of western Iraq and under siege by US-backed militias in the Syrian city of Raqqa. But while the ISIS goal to build a caliphate is in tatters, terror experts say it is still too soon to be relaxed about the demise of ISIS. Max Abrams is a leading expert on ISIS. He's an assistant professor of political science at Northeastern University in Boston. Max Abrams, welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Happy to join you.
Max, ISIS has lost control of the city of Mosul. It's reportedly about to lose Raqqa. Its leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, is missing, perhaps killed. Is this the end of ISIS?
Well, I liked what you said in the run-up to this, that segment, because there are all sorts of ways of looking at Islamic State's success. Historically, the way that we've judged it has been in terms of the creation of its caliphate. And this makes sense because the leader, Baghdadi, declared from the al-Nuri Mosque 3 years ago in Mosul that their main goal had begun to get accomplished, which was the creation of an Islamic State. And so we've been measuring ISIS success in terms of the territory it has been able to control, in terms of the number of foreign fighters it's been able to attract, in terms of its revenues, which to a large extent have been land dependent, because a lot of the money has come off of the oil and taxation and just overall predation of the population. I do agree with what you said, that the caliphate, its main stated political aim is in tatters. And so in that sense, from a political perspective, the group has lost. However, you might also evaluate the success of a group in terms of its staying power. Mm-hmm. And I do think that on that basis, Islamic State is still doing okay. I expect this group to remain operational in one form or another for the foreseeable future.
Okay, let's talk about that, operational in one form or another. Yes, they're still operational in Syria, in Raqqa, but their hold on that, their grip on that is fading. Yes, they're still operational in parts of Iraq through the Anbar province, but there's no sort of major base to dig in from. But what about operational at arm's length? We now, there's a suggestion that some of those fighters who were in and around Mosul will slink back, disappear back into Iraqi society and form sleeper cells, perhaps suicide bombers in Baghdad and beyond. And there's also the outreach, if you like, the returning foreign fighters who might be returning to cities like London or Sydney or New York or Jakarta or anywhere really. Not just those returning foreign fighters, but those who bought on to the ISIS narrative. Where do you think the biggest threat lies from ISIS, or to put that another way, the future lies for ISIS?
Sure. I mean, I agree with all of those scenarios. I think many of these terrorists are essentially lifers. If we don't kill them, they are not going to adjust peacefully and reintegrate into society. They're going to remain terrorists, under a different guise. So in practice, that might mean that they will split off into cells and remain local and then sprout up and commit an attack, maybe a suicide operation. I certainly think that we'll see that. I think that other members will defect to other terrorist groups, which in some ways are really just different in name only. And we've seen a large number of defections generally to more moderate groups. The more moderate groups, in parentheses, moderate, or quotation marks, because they're really not moderate, but they're relatively moderate compared to Islamic State. Groups like al-Nusra, for example, we've seen a number of defections there. In general, when terrorist groups are placed under duress, when they have a lot of opposition from governments, they have two main choices. They can either stay put and generally get crushed, or they can decentralize and essentially lose operational control. And I suspect that that's more and more what we're going to see with Islamic State. It's going to be flushed out of its stronghold of Iraq and in Syria, but we're going to still see these highly international sporadic attacks.
In a sense, the sporadic attacks internationally have been gone, although they've been claimed by ISIS, there's very little sense that that ISIS anywhere had operational control over these people. Also, I mean, a lot of them are very young. A lot of the people creating terror, killing people in the name of ISIS in London or Manchester or Melbourne or wherever, not all of them, but some of them are young and seem to have been really inspired and motivated by the narrative of ISIS, triumphing, ISIS and the new caliphate. If that disappears, if ISIS is looming, losing, doesn't that take the gloss off the narrative? And over time, isn't that likely to completely diminish the impact?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think it's useful to think of Islamic State as two separate but interrelated threats. There's the Islamic State organization, which has been based primarily in Iraq and in Syria, and we've done really well against the organization. However, there's the broader Islamic State threat, including the ISIS-inspired guys, largely over the internet, and we haven't done as well there. In fact, as the organization was being degraded over the past couple of years, we've seen a rise in that sort of international violence. However, I do think that as we continue to destroy the illusion of a caliphate, that the recruiting power of the organization will get lower and it will be harder and harder to inspire people, especially to trade their lives when they know that the end goal of the caliphate is never going to happen.
Yeah. Just finally, ISIS rose out of in Iraq, particularly out of a lot of fury and discontent amongst Sunni Muslims in and around Mosul and in the Anbar province at the fact that they were left out, completely disenfranchised by their government. Now we have overnight the U.S. commander of the coalition troops in Iraq, Lieutenant General Stephen J. Townsend, saying that to prevent ISIS 2.0 from emerging, the Iraqi government is going to have to be different, to reach out to the Sunnis and others, to make them understand the government represents them. Is this the first and major challenge for Iraq?
I mean, there's no question that Islamic State is, in a way, a response to sectarian grievances. However, I often think that people overstate the role of sectarian grievances in explaining Islamic State. When you look at Islamic State's target selection around the world, for example, it's certainly not restricted to Shiite targets, for instance. We were also told that we wouldn't see progress against Islamic State unless President Assad was removed because he inflames, the sectarian passions. Mm. We heard the same thing about the Shiite militia in Iraq, that they needed to go in order to really attrit Islamic State. None of that turned out to be true. I view Islamic State not as sort of a defensive group responding to grievances, but more of a rapacious, offensive-minded group. And so it really needs to be destroyed. It's not responding, in my opinion, so much to deeper political issues, even though I know that many pundits subscribe to that view.
Okay, Max Abrahams, thank you very much for joining us.
Sure.
Max Abrahams, an assistant professor of political science at Northeastern University in Boston, an expert on ISIS.